All right, if you have your Bibles, if you would, the book of Judges, chapter 16. The book of Judges, chapter 16. Very familiar scripture here to most of us that's ever read anything about in the Bible about Samson and Delilah. But I want to look this morning at a picture of the church and America. I believe we're living in the last, not days, but minutes. I believe that the way things are going right now, I believe with all my heart that God is fixing to come back. I don't see how He can put up with it much longer, do you? All the meanness, the wickedness, all the things that's going on right now, but how many know that we've got to do our best until He comes back? We got to pick up the pieces and continue going. And I titled my message this morning, Picking Up the Pieces, because there's a lot of pieces laying around that we need to grab a hold of. And you say, what kind of pieces are you talking about, preacher? Brothers, sisters, mamas, daddies, aunts, uncles that are lost and undone without God, that are going to die and go to hell if Jesus was to come back. And us in our personal lives as Christians have sort of fell apart too. And we've got some pieces that's laying around. I want to look this morning at Judges chapter 16. Begin reading with verse 23. The Bible says, Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. Now notice, every time you see Dagon or that word God or Lord, it's in lowercase letters, because there's not one but worthy to be in the capital seat, and that's Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind when you read the Bible. If you ever see it in lowercase, it's not talking about Jesus Christ. All right, now, it says they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands the enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. I would to God today that our God, well, it's coming. It won't be long till He destroys the one thing that's destroying our country, and that's the devil. Amen. It ain't going to be very long till God says that's it. He's going to throw him in the lake of fire, because He's already got the keys of death and hell, and He's going to lock him up for an eternity. Amen. Won't be no more devil, thank God. In verse 25 it says, And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. Now, that word sport, I looked that word up, and there's a lot of ways you can take that one word. But if you know about Samson, how big and strong of a man he was, they was wanting him to be an athlete in their eyes. They was wanting him to take this grinding wheel and see if this one man could push this wheel around. That's where this word sport come from. It was, I guess, if you want to look at it in our days, athlete, all right? So now watch what happens. And they called for Samson out of prison house, and they made them sport, and they said, set him between the pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, or allow me, that I may feel the pillars upon the house standeth that I may lean upon them. In other words, Samson wanted to feel those pillars. Y'all know the story of what happened. But I want to show you what God will allow us to do if only we'll turn to Him. It says, "Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistine were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. They beheld while Samson made sport, and Samson called unto the Lord." Now, notice the Lord there is in capital letters. Y'all see that? He's talking to the Lord Jesus. Now, the only way we're going to ever get back to where we once was and to be a strong nation and to be a strong church, first thing I see is we're going to have to start calling on the Lord again. Instead of looking at every other method, every other way, every other thing in this world, folks, it's very simple. God is just a prayer away. If you grab a hold of that this morning, it said, "And Samson called unto the Lord." He prayed unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me." Is that not what we need again in our church? In America, is strength that a Christian should have. It says, "I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Now, if you'll go back and read, you'll find out that when Samson and Delilah got together, she found out his strength was in his hair. Now, Samson, when his mother was told by the angel that she was going to have a child, the whole thing about it was he was going to be what they call a Nazarite. All right, now, that word Nazarite, people think it means a Nazarene. No, it don't. That does not mean Nazarene. You go do your research and you'll find out that a Nazarite was one that did not eat any kind of berries, fruits, grapes, or anything like that, and wine never touched their mouth. Then they were a Nazarite. All right, now you go home and research it. But if you go back over here to chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for this child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And y'all know the story of about Samson and how strong he was. But there come a point in time that he got broke down. And when he got broke down, he told what the strength was. Number one, he is a Nazarite. Number two, that they wasn't a razor supposed to ever touch his head. So Delilah found that out. And by the way, they paid her big money to do this, if you do a little research. And she found out what his weakness was, or where his strength lie. They cut his hair and then gouged his eyes out so he couldn't run away. So now, Samson comes to a place in his life. I'm getting up to the message, just bear with me. He comes into this place in his life that he knows there's nothing else he can do except for one thing, and that was call on the name of Jesus. How many's ever been to the point in your life that you have been to all measures and the only thing you can do was call on the Lord? Folks, it's time for America and Mount Carmel Baptist Church, as us as Christians, new Christians, new converts, old Christians, old converts, aged and babies alike. It's time for us to start looking around and start picking up the pieces and get back to serving an almighty God like we once did. This is a message of hope this morning. A message of restoration. A message of coming back when people say you're at the point of no return. How many know God allows U-turns this morning? This is a message of regrets. This is a message of mistakes. And we know that Samson fell into the hands of a woman because he made a mistake. Instead of listening to God, he was listening to this woman. How many know that it's good every once in a while to stop where you're at and stop what you're doing and listen to the voice of God? It would do us good this morning. And it all begins. It all begins. You say, what begins, preacher? Picking up the pieces. It begins with one thing. Number one, realizing you made a mistake. That's where the beginning starts. You can never get to where you need to be unless you first realize you've made a mistake. God can't save your soul this morning unless you first realize you're lost. You can't find something that ain't never been lost. God can't find a person that first hadn't realized their lost condition. The Holy Spirit of God has to come and woo you and draw you and help you to realize that you're lost and on your way to hell. And you got to know that, preacher, I don't know if I was to die now, I'd go to heaven. First thing you need to do is realize you're lost. Then God can save you. So I say to you, if you go back to verse 28, again, just in our text, Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee. You see how many times he's praying to God? He said, I pray thee this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He said, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know what I done was wrong. Lord, would you once again make me whole? And that's when he told the little lad, he said, would you just let me feel the pillars that the house is on? Would you let me just lean on it? How many know every once in a while we get weak and we need something to lean on? His name is Jesus Christ. I don't care how far you get away from Him. I don't care how bad you are, how bad you get this morning. We've got a God that's always there for you to lean on. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. So it all begins realizing your mistake. You say, well, what does that mean, preacher? It means that the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins. It shows you where you've done wrong. If you don't know you've done wrong, how you gonna make it right? I'm glad I got the Spirit of God living inside of me that when I do wrong, He lets me know. I'm glad that little buzzer goes off and says, you're wrong. We need to make things right, amen? And I'm glad I got a God that, just like he did Samson here, he allowed him to come and to fill the pillars. So I say to you, realizing your mistake, it all begins with that, and then you're convicted. Listen, not only will you be convicted, but you'll have a broken heart. You say, why, preacher? Because you'll realize what you done was wrong. It hurts when we do wrong. It should. It should hurt when you do wrong because you've got the Spirit of God living inside of you and you're sealed until the day of redemption and your body is the temple of God and He dwells in you and He lives in you, and when you do wrong, it contaminates that. It should hurt our hearts. It should convict you. And then I see something else. Not only does it convict you, will your emotions run wild, but I believe realizing your mistake will wake you up. Once you realize your mistake, it will wake you up. Even though Samson could not see, They had done gouged his eyes out. He still had prayer. He was still able to pick up the broken pieces that he knew what he done was wrong. So what did the first thing he done? He didn't push the temple down first, did he? He first of all called on God to give him his strength back, didn't he? How many know this morning, before we ever can make amends, we're going to have to call on God and make things right with God. Then we can make things right in the world. But you got to get right with God first. Realizing your mistakes. When you realize your mistakes and you wake up, you're going to be able to see life more clearly. And you know, as I was sitting there studying this, and I thought, man, you know, Samson, they had done gouged his eyes out, poked his eyes out, however you want to look at it. Done cut his hair and done lost all of his strength. But the whole time, you don't have to have eyes to pray. You don't have to have long hair to pray. Amen. But he started praying. And he just said, would you just let me lean on the pillars? And all of the sudden, he started praying to an almighty God. He started picking up the pieces. Folks, it's time for America. It's time for Mount Carmel, not only our church, but churches all around. It's time for us to start picking up the pieces again and get back to where we once was. Number two, it begins with realizing your mistake. Number two, I believe the way it all begins is, second of all, repentance. Repentance. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, the Bible says this, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God. Notice that's a big G, right? If perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. My. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. You say, preacher, I ain't wicked. How many know that there is none righteous? No, not one. There's not a single perfect soul in this place today. We all sin and come short of the glory of God, don't we? Every last one of us, if it's not godly, it's worldly. It's wickedly. It's devilish. I don't care how many words you put in there. If it's not for God, it's against God. Amen? And we need to grab a hold of this morning and realize that the Bible says that we need to repent daily, on a daily basis. Every time we sin, I don't do it daily. I do it momentarily. Amen? Because we sin so much in a day. When we get on our knees at night, we wait all day long. We're bound to forget something. So the Bible, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, right then you need genuine repentance. If you keep letting it fester up and build up, it's going to build a block or a wall between you and God. So I say to you, over the time that Delilah and Samson got together, I believe it was three times he said no, that he wouldn't tell her about the secret. But over time, my friend, we get weak and we get drawn into things. My friend, listen to me this morning. Over time, you're going to get weak. You're going to be drawn into things. But don't give in to the worldly things, to the ungodly things. I always turn and say, Father, I need your help in this situation. We need that in our world today. If people would quit making such haste decisions, they wouldn't be such waste in America. They wouldn't be waste in the church if we'd quit making hasty decisions. And you know what? I'm as guilty as anybody. As a pastor standing before you and all the eyes looking on me this morning, there's been times in my life I've made haste decision and it ended up waste. Amen? And I'm sure everybody here can say the same thing. But if we take our time and say, Lord, which way do you want me to go? Hey, let me say something. If it's in accordance to God's word, it's the right way to go. Amen. repentance. What does that mean? It simply means crying out to God. It means a turning away. Folks, we need a turning away of sin this day and hour. In our homes, in our churches, in the White House. Amen right there. We need a turning away. We need repentance. We need to put God where He's supposed to be. Instead of on our throne, we need to put Him back on His. Amen? So many times we put Him on our throne. We put Him where we think He ought to be. Let's let God be God and leave Him on His throne, and everything will get better. Amen? One of these days. So I say to you, it all begins with realizing your mistake. Number two, it all begins with repentance, to crying out. And let me say this, don't have head knowledge of repentance. Do it heartfelt repentance. Do it from the heart, meaning you mean it from your heart. If you say, Lord, I know I've sinned, mean it from your heart. Lord, I know I've done wrong, mean it from your heart. The Bible says, that lip service and eye pleasing is not pleasing unto God. I'll tell you what is. Genuine repentance is what God wants. He wants us to turn from our wicked ways. Repentance is an attitude rather than a single act. Did y'all catch that? Repentance is a single attitude, an attitude rather than a single act. We need to turn away from all the worldly things and get back to where God wants us. Not only do I see this morning the reaction, I will give you these one more time. It all begins with realizing your mistake. Number two, it all begins with repentance. Number three, it all begins with our reaction. You know, we've had three souls saved here in the last 4 weeks. How have we reacted? The Bible says only one, if just one, the angels rejoice. Just over one lost soul. We've had three. How are we rejoicing? We had four to join Wednesday night. A whole family joined our church Wednesday night. How are we reacting? Man, we should be shouting the victory this morning. There's churches across America that hadn't seen a soul saved in years. And we've had three saved in over just the last month. We ought to be shouting the victory this morning. We ought to be praising God, how He is blessing our church. I know there's quite a few out this morning that's not feeling well, that's sick, that's on vacation. But how many know God is still here and we ought to be rejoicing? It's how we react this morning. It's time to pick up the pieces and start celebrating life as a Christian. Going forward. Look back with me at verse 26 in Judges 16. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It's time to stop standing still and start moving forward and reaching out so we can find something we can work with. Amen? Samson couldn't do nothing by just holding the lad's hand. I'm sure he prayed, God, let me break his hand. He could have, but that wouldn't have done it no good. What Samson done, he didn't want to stand still, but he wanted to move forward. Our reaction at this church should be moving forward and not standing still. Amen. You stand still, you get stagnant. What I said Wednesday night, I preached a message entitled, God is Stirring the Waters. It's time to stir the waters. And you know what? I said this, a pond. Now listen to me. I said a pond is lifeless. But what happens when the wind blows? It becomes alive. You see, a pond That old green algae, y'all know what I'm talking about, that old stagnating stuff gets over the top. But if the wind's coming out of the north and blowing across from the north, where's the algae going to go? South, right? It's going to go that way. There's going to be a moving and a stirring. How many know that the Holy Spirit has been breathing on us here, and if we don't watch it, He's going to quit and we're going to get stagnant and we're going to get stale on God. I want the winds to blow, and because of lifelessness, stagnation starts. But where there's moving and freshness, how many know God likes moving? Nothing like putting an old cup under water that's been falling off the rocks out of the mountains. That water comes down, purifies itself, causes moving. And man, you get you a cold drink of that water. Boy, that's some good stuff. You know why it causes moving and it's going over? Yeah, there's some humps and bumps in the way. But those humps and bumps ain't there for nothing. Those humps and bumps are there to purify. And how many know churches are going to go through some humps and bumps? But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's in the valley that you learn to grow. It's in the valley you learn your mistakes. And it's in the valley that you learn to move forward. God said, I'm in the valley. I consider the lilies. I'm there where they don't toil nor spin. But I'm going to be with you even until the end. Reaction, moving forward. How many know it's time for America to start acting like they're supposed to act? America was founded on the principles and based on God's Word. It was designed. America, the strongest nation on the face of the earth, at one time was founded on the principles of God's Word. Ten Commandments. They've took them down everywhere now. They took them off the courthouse walls. You could walk in there and a thief sitting there and says, thou shalt not steal. Where's that at now? It's gone. Let me say something to you this morning. It's time for us to start acting again upon what God said. He said, folks, the fields are white and ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. Go out into the hedges and the highways and compel them to come in to the house of God. That's what He said. And it's time for us to act on it. Not only reaction going forward, acting upon, but the last reaction I think that we need in America, in our churches, it's time to get right with God. That's the greatest reaction I know of. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. I want you to look what the Bible has to say. It says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the what? Servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. My. When's the last time you know you was in the will of God? When's the last time you got to a place that you realized you had some pieces laying around and it was time to pick them up? When's the last time? Number 4. You know it's time to pick the pieces up because you've went so far. Number 4, it's time to return. It's time to return. Return where, preacher? Number 1, to God. Number 2, not only to God, but God's ways. Folks, we need to get back to God's ways instead of our ways. We was talking about in Sunday school this morning about tithing. You know, it's great to tithe. But if the church don't use it for the upbuilding of God's kingdom, they're the one in sin. Not the one who's paying the tithes. You do what you're supposed to do, and the church has got to do what they're supposed to do. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, you know, the Bible talks about bringing your tithes and offerings to the storehouse, right? That's what we studied this morning. And the storehouse was simply just a whole cut underground where everything stays cool. If you had an abundant crop season, you brought a tenth of it and put it down there, and that, I'm going to call it a cellar. If you had, man, your cows had a good year and you killed three or four cows or hogs or whatever it was, you took some of that meat and put down in that cellar. So when people, maybe they didn't have such a good time, a good summer, a good winter, a bad winter, however you want to look at it, and they needed something to eat, they could go to the priest and say, I'm hungry. They could go to the storehouse and get it out. Our job is to feed the hungry. Our job is to help those that need our help as a church. Maybe they can't pay their power bill. You know what? It's our job to reach out. Take some of that what's in the storehouse and help somebody. That's the church's job. It's time for America to return to God's ways. And I believe, and I'm going to say this, and I mean it with all my heart, but I believe that we are to make wise decisions. Not selfish and selfless decisions. Pick up the broken pieces. Return, number one, to God, to God's way, and to God's plan. God's plan, picking up the pieces. Going on, it's not hard, but you have to include God. You can't do it by yourself. We try it by ourselves, we'd make a mess of it, wouldn't we? Picking up the pieces. I don't know why God laid this on my heart this week to preach. But you know what? You can look around and find brokenness all around. Whether it's spiritual, physical, monetarily. You know, there's a lot of people broke right now. Broken. It don't have to be all the time about money. It could be physically broken. It could be spiritually broken. Maybe you in need of something. How many know Samson prayed? And when God gave him his strength, he picked up all the pieces and he pushed on those pillars and killed more at his death than what he killed in his life. Folks, I'm telling you, God can use you if only you'll let him. But you got to pick up the broken pieces. Sandra, if you'd come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, Lord, I don't know why you had me to preach this message. I'm not questioning that. I've preached the message. But Lord, as these folks here, and you brought who exactly this morning who needed to hear this message. If there's somebody here broken, whatever the reason is, I pray that you'd bring them to this old-fashioned altar this morning. God, I pray, most of all and above all, if there's one lost and undone without you, Lord, would you save them today? Lord, thank you for the souls that's been saved here in the last few weeks. Lord, we praise you for that. Thank you for blessing our church with the fantastic family that joined. Lord, but we shouldn't get complacent. We should want to move forward for the glory of God. Lord, I ask you to bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed.